on Sunday. Okay? Go back to 1 Peter. And we're going to touch on that because I don't want you to miss the mark about what God is trying to do with our souls. If you were blessed about learning about the salvation of your soul, I pray that you can study 1 Peter again and look at it as you continue to understand that this is procedural. It's time-consuming. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's also a faith work. It's a work that you believe for. Just like you did for healing, just like you did for understanding God's word and grace, it's the same idea. So I want you to kind of back up to verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. Notice again, it's a goal of your faith. So these were told to believe for this and receive it by? You got it. The salvation of your souls. So the salvation of your soul is a work done by God inside of you and me, and it's going to continue until you get that fullness. So now, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, notice again, it doesn't stop there, because the whole of this letter is really talking to each of us. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now again, you've got to remember, Peter is really writing to the Jews and the people that he's ministering to, and they are aware of these prophecies done many, many years, some of them hundreds of years, and they were looking for the timing. So notice again, they were connecting it to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Well, we're looking back when he was glorified, because when he came out of the grave, that was the completion of an incredible miracle. He's the firstborn of the dead. Now, he also rose people out of the grave. Well, not, yes, he did. There was Lazarus. I was thinking out of the grave. I was thinking of the girl. The girl was in her mother's house, in her bed, or mother and father's house, right? The girl, or the little boy, the boy, the young boy or young man, they were going to be burying him. Mm-hmm. So again, there was no sepulcher there. But Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So death definitely was dealt with. And everything that God does, he does in two or three witnesses. Why? Because of our stubbornness.
No.
Yeah, we're kind of, you know, I hate to say it, but the soul is stubborn. It wants its own way, and it wants it now, and it wants it yesterday. And we all do. And I mean, you know, there's degrees of that in different individuals, okay? That might help, I pray. It was, verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. So again, Peter is really letting them know how precious and what a real blessed people that they were. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel or the good news to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. You know, I had a misconception for years, and even now I still, there's like, Angels should know this stuff, but they don't. Angels don't know what you know, some of you. Angels haven't got a clue because they are less than you. If that makes any sense. Are you aware that you will judge them? Okay. Are you aware that you're more than them?
Yes, but I thought, okay.
So instead of having this mental picture that they are greater than us, that's not the point. The point is when we get completed, spirit, soul, and body, we will be greater than them. Whoops. Think about that now. Just close your eyes for a moment. Say, when I am fully alive in Christ, and He's in full control of my faculties, my mental faculties, my emotional faculties, and all of the ways I perceive things will be anointed of the Holy Ghost, the war will be over. And even my body will be transformed. In the twinkling of an eye, it will take place. That means I will then be able to judge angels. Romans 8 says we are brothers with Christ. If you see the talents and the abilities of the Lord in His risen body, you see yourself in the future because you'll be like Him. Okay. Now, verse 13 is kind of cool. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. That means you have an ability to use your mind for the future. Be self-controlled. Set your hopes fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Has that revelation already happened to some?
I think so.
Yes, I too believe that there are some in the earth right now that we have an awareness, much more than I had 30 years ago. I mean, I had knowledge, yes, but it wasn't guided by the Holy Spirit. Today, I have more ability than I had, which I shared with you guys on Sunday, and I can see the change. I can see the fruits of the change by how I act and react to certain things. Whereas at one time in my life, I would panic over certain things. Now, no big deal. God's in charge. You know, it's not the end of the world because there's a test going on. I know we'll pass it. It's just sometimes my soul gives me a run for my money. Okay? Are we all in agreement?
Amen.
Okay? So there is an ability to start putting some control factors here. Okay? And set your hope fully on the grace. Does it say set your hope fully on yourself?
No.
So it's going to be unmerited favor that's going to be needed to get us to the finish line. Yes or no? All right. When Jesus Christ is revealed, when? Is it all going to be at the same time?
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't be wise now.
I'm not.
I'm teasing. But, you know, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Reverent fear means the awe of God. Not being afraid of your father like maybe you were when you were a kid and you pulled a lie or something and he's going to readjust your brain by tapping your rear or hand or whatever. 4:18. You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Well, you know, every one of us has an awareness to a degree of our pre-Jesus days, when we were following in the footsteps of what we were taught. For me, it was 27 years. Each one of you may have a different number. Verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So in other words, your salvation is dependent on him. Verse 20, he says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." So again, if God took him out of the grave, who's going to pull you and me out of death?
Good.
Same God, not a different God. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable." How many of you read the book that Doug wrote, The Gift of the Eternal Life? Or, that's not the wording of the title.
The Power of an Endless Life.
Endless Life. Yeah. That's what he's talking about right here. Okay? The power of an endless life means you're going to continue to operate in the realm of the Spirit even after you are now fulfilling the fullness of the calling that he has on your life and on your body and on your soul. "Though the living and enduring word of God, for all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." The next level, even if there's a number two there, kind of bypass it, okay? And this is the word that was preached to you. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice or hatred, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." That's another level. Learning that you're maturing, you're getting stronger, you're getting better than where you were. "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Why has he put that particular phrase in there? "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Because he was brought up under the law. And he was afraid of every action and reaction that he did. So the whole of the Jewish nation was under the anointing of fear. The fear of God was so tremendous that they behaved, you know, by choice, just not to be wiped out. If anybody touched the Ark of the Covenant, what happened? Yeah. If the high priest went in and he wasn't quite prepared.
Oh, come on.
I mean, they got fried. Mm-hmm. So tell me if you wouldn't get scared. You know, who want to be in the priesthood? Not me. I mean, you know, if you make one little boo-boo, you know, that's another fried fish. Not being funny, Lord. Sorry. I kind of want to skip the next level and jump to verse 22. Chapter 2, 22. "He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate," which shows you he wasn't under the anointing of his soul. "When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin or sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. It doesn't say you will be healed. You have been healed by his wounds, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your
souls.
There's your soul again. Who's the overseer and the bishop? Him.
Mm-hmm.
By his spirit within you, you can definitely call and have the help you need to cross over from all these old patterns to the new.
Okay, now can I ask you a
sure.
question?
Yeah.
You know, on Sunday I told you that that boy that died a week ago today
yes.
was the son of two people that I...
Yes.
These two people love the Lord. They're in the Word all the time. Anyway, George, who's the father, called a friend of mine, Michelle, and me, mm-hmm. and put us on speakerphone. I couldn't believe I heard was hearing from George. And this is what he said. He said, my son is not dead.
Good.
He's sleeping.
Amen.
And he said, and I'm going to raise him from the dead with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I need the two of you to not speak anything but that and to agree with me
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to go to that hospital
mm-hmm.
and that Andrew's going to get up and mm-hmm. walk up. Now, my first thought was, God, George is in shock.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I first thought. And then he said, I've been studying nothing but the resurrections in the Bible for the mm-hmm. last 2 days. I don't let anybody around me mm-hmm. that's talking. Mm-hmm. He's dead. They have to leave. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hear it. And he said, when I go to the hospital, I'm going to that room with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to raise him, and we're not letting anybody else in
mm-hmm.
who has any doubt at all. So Michelle and I both agreed with him
mm-hmm.
that in Jesus' name he would do this. And so shortly after that, somebody called me and asked me if I would make some food for them. And this is what I said. I can't do that
mm-hmm.
because he believes. He's going to blah, blah, blah.
You're going to respect
and
his
decision.
And I've
got to stand on that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. So, to make a very long story short, they went, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
He was not in the room at this point. They had put him in the morgue.
Mm-hmm.
And they demanded, George demanded...
That he be brought
see,
back.
To go down and see him. So they did. It was just Beverly and he. And I don't know exactly what was said. I wasn't there, but... He commanded him to get up and all the things that apparently he'd studied and read and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, Andrew didn't get up.
Right.
And so now George is, besides that it's hit that his baby boy is gone.
Yep.
Now he feels he didn't do what he was supposed to do, that he has grieved the Holy Spirit, that... He did exactly what the Lord did, and he should have gotten up off of that slab mm-hmm. and walked home with them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to say to them.
This message is for him. Because listening to the soul, you would follow through, and I've done some of that way back, because again, that's what we were taught. Okay.
So you're saying him wanting to raise him was the soul?
The soul speaking rather than the spirit. Plus, his study is using the word for his own benefit rather than trusting God's ability. Yes, he is asleep, and yes, there will be a resurrection, but it's probably going to be down the road somewhere.
Then why does God say we will do that and more?
We will do when he is fully alive in us as his sons and as his bride.
I feel so bad for him. Like Michelle,
continue to intercede for him. Continue to intercede for him as the Holy Spirit leads you. And when he studies, tell him, you know, if you have an opportunity, say, would you please study 1 Peter? The whole chapter, the whole letter. And let him taste of what is written here so that he will begin to understand. I mean, the motivation of his heart, absolutely 100% correct. Okay? There's nothing wrong with what he did because he followed what he believed way inside of himself. And there's absolutely nothing wrong. It's just like Paul Keith shared about when John Paul Jackson went home. He was so upset. What have we done wrong? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, the cancer was gone and now it reignited, et cetera, et cetera. Well, again, God's plan was to plant a seed of righteousness into the ground so that he can have a harvest of John Paul's. Okay? So now, definitely, this young man is with God. There's no doubt about that. And the father is doing what a father would do. Absolutely normal. Nothing abnormal about that. However, he'll understand the division between the soul and the spirit. And remember, Jesus never did anything to please himself. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. He only did as the Holy Spirit told him. And so even Jesus had to obey the spirit within himself, not to do what may be felt good or look good or emotionally going to set me free. So let's go back now. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very word of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. The reason I'm giving you that is because living for God is what we do. Now I want you to skip over to chapter 5. Now I've taught on this before, but I want you to see how it fits with the soul. Verse 10. If you haven't got a circle around this part, put one. Because this particular verse can change your future. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, not in yourself, not in your emotions, it's in Christ, in the corporate body, which I was teaching you earlier. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. Now, if anybody else had written this except Peter, it would not have as much value, because everyone knows Peter's goof up. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, even after he prophetically was told you're going to deny. Because Peter didn't know what was in himself. How do you think Peter felt on his way home back to his favorite job after denying the Lord? I mean, just imagine yourself saying the words he said. I never knew him. I'm not from Galilee. His accent gave him away. Even the girl that was by the fire could tell. And then when the Lord looked at him, eyeball to eyeball, what happened? Nobody knows, except he tasted. He denied his Savior. And he knew. And he had predicted, I'll fight for you. I'll never. Why? He didn't know what was in him. Do I know what's in me? Well, let me say that I know about what's in my soul more than I knew. Mm-hmm. I know what's in my spirit more than I knew. Mm-hmm. And they're both growing. One is growing in strength, and the other one is groaning as it dies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you hear me? Mm-hmm. Which one is groaning?
The soul.
The soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. Want to do it my way. Mm-hmm. I want to resurrect everybody. I want to go to the hospital. I want to lay hands and free them all up. But did God tell me? Is it the Holy Spirit that's authorizing? I'm not saying this father did anything wrong. I would not criticize him.
Was that wrong in agreeing?
No, absolutely not. You did and gave grace to him. Because there was no way that you would know his revelation. Mm-hmm. Correct? Mm-hmm. But the scripture says, by the fruits you will.
No. Well, also, I would think that Mary Jo would not want to
deflate him in any way.
Correct.
I was so excited. My spirit was jumping to think, Jesus, maybe he's really going to do this, and I believe he can. Because
But you see, the author of the word is what really has manifested now by the fruit.
Imagine what a testimony that would have been.
It will be. It will
Jesus.
Be.
Jesus.
I'm not saying that young man won't rise. The timing could be different.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many out there in the body of Christ that are in churchianity, and they really believe, and yet the fruits are negative.
Does that shake their faith?
Huh?
Does that shake their faith? I mean, does that make them...
Well, it gives you an awareness where they are spiritually. Okay? I had a beautiful young woman that I ministered to at least 3 years. Almost every time you turned around, she would be on the phone. She was anorexic. Okay? She came to Grace Church. Her mother and father came to Grace Church. She was a teaching nurse of all the head nurses at Bay State.
Wow.
So you can know she had an incredible capacity of her mind. And the last few times I saw her, I would say her wrist was the size of basically that bottom of that glass. She had gloves up to here because she didn't want to see all the holes between her hands. Okay? So I was holding the hands of a skeleton. And her mother and father said, Kim, can you help her? I said, I'm not the healer. I can give her the scriptures. I can show her, you know, how to come out of this bondage because she wouldn't feed her body. She really believed every spoonful of food that she put in was she was killing herself. And yet, there was a negative spirit there. And for her to be able to get free, she would have had to say, I want that spirit out of there. And I taught her spiritual warfare so that she would learn that there was a negative spirit operating and doing the destruction of her body. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, she went to church, she did this, she did that. She did all the things that maybe she knew how to do from her mind, her will, her emotions. But her spirit man was not the one that was in charge. It was the soul. The soul was listening to the negative force that said, don't feed her. And obviously she ended up dying at a very young age, 38, I think, 37 or 38. And when we put that woman in the ground, I'll tell you, there was lots and lots of people who fell because they actually believed that she was going to get free. They were believing with her, but it was from the soul. She was guided by her soul, mind, will, and emotions. And she had an incredible ability. She could quote the word, but you can quote this word. You can learn this word, but still having it an awareness in your soul rather than your spirit man coming alive.
It has to go. Somebody told me, and I don't remember what it was, the longest distance in the earth is from here to here.
Yes.
And until it gets into your spirit, it doesn't work.
That's right. So my press, when the Holy Spirit formed this church, was to develop people in their spiritual abilities. Make sure that they would develop in their spirit first. The soul would take a back seat eventually. And then their bodies would be coming alive in Christ. That's the purpose of this house of prayer. So our prayer is for you all to grow out of babyhood in Christ and to go into adulthood, which is all available in 1 Peter. Kind of cool? How many got a new twist or a new understanding of this word today?
But I need a lot more.
Well, it's okay. It's still there.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot here, okay? So now, who are we going to depend on?
Jesus.
All right. Close your eyes then. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
There's no way I can understand it all.
There's no way I can understand it all.
But your Holy Ghost.
But your Holy Ghost.
Is resident in me.
Is resident in me.
So I'm asking you.
So I'm asking you.
To give me the grace.
Give me the grace.
That I need.
That I need.
To go higher.
To go higher.
To understand your plan for me.
To understand your plan for me.
And for those that I hold in my heart.
And for those that I hold in my heart.
And my purpose, is to be fully alive, in Christ, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, resonant in me, and the soul being in full submission to my spirit. Just like Adam was at the beginning, but he rejected and failed. But Jesus didn't fail. He constantly obeyed his spirit, and the fruits are obvious. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.